Good morning. Well, before I open up in the Word this morning, I just want to wish you guys all a Merry Christmas. I know we're not going to be gathering here today and probably till the new year. So I hope you all have a great Christmas with family, friends, whatever, and hope the weather is nice. That's important as well. And this morning I want us to begin by opening up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 20 to 23, and we're going to spend some time in this, and we're going to kind of go all over and come back to this one again. And I feel this is a good sermon or a good message. It's what the Lord laid on my heart. I said, Lord, it's the last Sunday of 2025. What is on your heart, you know, for the people? And I know I have to always look at myself and what the Lord's been dealing with me on. And I know that if it's for me, it's for you. And so, as I share this word, know that it's more for me than it is for you. You know, I need to remind myself of these things probably more than you. But I know for a fact that if I don't do something that's not in my heart and real to me, it's really hard for me to get it across to you and make it real to you. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. And see what the Lord has for us at the end of 2025. Verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence. The word keep means to guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the things of your life or the issues of your life. Now, you know, so often in life, we stop, especially when we're going through a hard time or we're going through a time where, you know, things are just seeming to be coming against us. And we all, as long as we're in this world, things happen, right? Life happens. And sometimes you stop and you begin to examine what's happening, why, you know, am I doing something different, and what is going on, you know, because, you know, you might have been going through a season where things were going great and everything was lovely and no problems, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're arrested by, and I believe God is trying to get our attention sometimes, you know, and so that's what this message is about. It's a reminder of how important these four scriptures are, this one passage is absolutely it's so important to every one of us who are born of the Spirit and who want to live the kingdom life that Jesus died to give us. These four scriptures taken together. Now, we're going to break them down a little bit so you can really understand what it's saying. So this is a passage that gently reminds us that no matter where you are in life today, right now, your life in the future will always depend upon what you're paying attention to today. You're always sowing seeds for tomorrow, okay? Remember that. That's a lesson a lot of times we don't learn until we're too old to go back and change it, all right? So everything in your future depends on what you're doing today, okay? And especially today, because we just read in verse 20, my son, attend means pay attention to my words. And today, it's getting more and more difficult to give our undivided attention to the Word of God. We have so many things pulling us in every direction, you know, and this new age of technology is not helping either, because now we have a phone that's beeping and causing us to be picking that thing up 1,000 times a day, and now our attention is on that, and then we have, especially in this church, lots of young children, you know how much attention they need, and so at the end of the day, you're absolutely done, you're spent, you're exhausted, you're burned out. There's no attention. There's no attention span, there's no time to give attention to the Word of God. And yet, it is the most important thing you will attend to this side of heaven. Give attention. And I believe that all of this that's happening today, because I know if you turn the clock back 50 years, it wasn't like this. I mean, we were busy, yes, but not like we are today. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we just run from the moment we get up in the morning until we lay our heads down at night. And we're just glad we got through the day. You know, it's like, oh, we know we've got to get our rest because the next day we're getting up, we're going to do the whole same thing over again. And things are just like your focus, your attention is just on the next task. I got to finish this so I get on to that. Finish that so I can get on to that. And what happens is a lot of times you're not in the moment. You're not in the task. You don't even remember what you just did. But it's done and you're going on to the next thing. Whatever was on your schedule. And I mean, even though I don't have little children, I find my own life is the same way. You know, it's weird. So I believe it's on purpose. The enemy loves it when he's got you so worked up and so bound up in life that, you know, you got no time for what's really important in your life. And a lot of times you sit back and you think, how can I change this? You know, but, you know, God never created us to be human doings. He created us to be human beings. And today, it's hard to give your undivided attention to anything. And I believe it's on purpose. We are being robbed in so many ways of just enjoying life. This fast pace is draining us. We're becoming old before our time because we're just haggard, you know, running on adrenaline. You were never created to run on adrenaline. ADHD is at an all-time high. When I was a kid growing up in school, never even heard of it. That was only one or two generations ago. No such thing. Today, I don't know what the poll numbers would be, but I believe at least 50% of those kids in each class are diagnosed with that, or that's what they call it. Attention, I wrote it down. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. I think most kids have it. And so we put them on drugs to calm them down. Something is wrong. Not only are the parents speeding up, but the kids are suffering for it. Because I don't know about you, but I do know one thing. When I'm in a room with someone who is just, you know, it affects you. All of a sudden, you're doing the same thing. You know, God wants us to chill, relax. I don't think Jesus was ever attention deficit. Remember when Jairus came to him and said, my daughter is dying. She was 12 or 13 years old. I mean, she was just a child. Come. And Jesus said, oh yeah, I'm going to come and we're going to, you know, I'll raise her or I'll heal her. And in the meantime, remember the lady, the little woman who crawled through the crowds and to reach Jesus' garment, to touch the hem of his garment. Now, you would think, and in the natural, you would look around and say, do you know that I'm in a hurry? I have no time for this. I'm on my way to this child is going to die unless I get there. No. He was chilled and relaxed. Can you imagine Jairus sitting there watching this woman saying, oh, Jesus, we gotta go. My daughter is going to die. Finally, Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe only. And he took the time and he ministered to that woman until he knew she was completely whole. And he talked to her. He made her feel like she was special. Now, none of us are on that type of a mission in our day that life and death is involved here. And yet, we're always rush, 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 hurry up, you know, like we got to get going. And it's not healthy for you at all. It's not healthy for your body, your mind, or anything else. And I know only with the help of the Holy Spirit can we begin to change some of that. But I do believe there's got to be some changes because I don't know at what point we start to break and we start to break down. So let's keep going. So ADHD is becoming so common among young people. Something that years ago, like I say, this just came up. This is something new. The first time I heard about this was a couple of years ago. We actually had a young boy in our church that was on medication. And I asked him one day, what are you on medication for? And he would have been, geez, I don't know how old the child was at that time. Not very old. Maybe 9. And then he told me, and I said, "What is that?" And I'm thinking, "Oh, okay." That was the first time I'd ever heard of it. And now, I mean, it's just rampant. And so this is a problem. It seems like we no longer have lives. We no longer have control over our own lives. Things are controlling us and what we do and how much time we have. And it's like, you know, I understand we're busy and I understand there are things in life we have to take care of. But I just really feel like we need to take a step back in the new year and say, listen, this is not good for us or the kids. I know that the enemy is loving it. The busier he can get us to be, the more he loves it. He knows that where our attention is, attend unto my words. That's what's going to flow out of your life. That's what's going to flow out of your heart, is what you're giving attention to. And it's very interesting. In Mark chapter 4, I'm going to go there and just talk about it. Mark chapter 4, Jesus says to his disciples after sharing a very important parable, he says, "Do you not know this parable?" Verse 13. And then, "How then are you going to know any parable?" When the word says no, understand. If you do not understand this parable, you will never understand any parable, is what he's saying. This is the parable of the kingdom. And then he goes on to say, the kingdom of God is as a man that soweth, the sower sows the word. That is how God's kingdom works. It's all centered and focused on the word of God. And if you don't understand that in your Christian life, he's not speaking to non-believers. He's speaking to those who do believe in God. If you don't understand that, you're not going to live the life that you should be living, that he wants you to live, that he died to give you to live. So the sower sows the word. Then Jesus goes on and speaks about the four different types of soil that the word is sown onto. Now, the soil we know represents the heart. You know, the heart that receives or that hears the word. And he says in verse 20, the heart that hears the word and receives it. Now, the word receives in this context means to take a hold of it. This heart will become fruitful. God created you to be fruitful. Now, when you're fruitful, that means your life is like if you plant a fruit tree in your yard and it never produces apples, the tree is like, you know, what's wrong with this tree? Eventually it just dies. It's not, there's something wrong with it. God created you to be fruitful. When I say fruitful, and when God says fruitful, he means to have increase, not decrease. You see, he delivered us from decrease under the old covenant before Jesus died and broke that curse over our lives. We were of the world. And the world we know is passing away. So were we. But Jesus delivered us out from the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of God, placed us into the kingdom of Jesus, where there's only increase. You can live above the decrease in this world. Because in the natural, people are passing away. But you know what? And you might look at that as a Christian and say, well, that's just normal. No, it's not. Not for the Christian, it isn't. Jesus isn't passing away, and as he is, so are we in this world. And we need to get a hold of these truths, because if we don't, like the Lord spoke to me many years ago, if you think like the world, you're going to end up like the world. Okay? So he says, the word receive means to take hold of it. This heart will be fruitful. Then in verse 24, this is where he says this: take heed to what you hear. In other words, you look up the word heed, it means pay attention to what you're hearing, and for with what measure you meet, it will be measured to you. Measure of what? Attention. And unto you who hear, in other words, pay attention, the more shall be given. Verse 25, for he that has, to him will, for he that hath, to him more will be given. He that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. What does that mean? I used to look at that scripture. But what this means is you might have it all together today. But Jesus is saying, unless you take the scriptures, the words of life, lay hold on them, apply them to yourself, take them for yourself, then even though If you don't do that, even though today you might have it all together, your life seems well, your body's healthy, your kids are healthy, everything seems, you know, I got a great wife, great job, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't take a hold of that, that will pass away, because that's just the natural course of things. Even what you have will be taken. Like today you're healthy, will you be healthy next week, next year, 5 years from now? You know, today you have this or that. Is that going to be, is it going to remain the same? The only way we can rise above the curse that affects all of this earth is through the Word of God. It's the only way. My words are not, like he said, my words are spirit and they are life. They're not just normal words. In other words, if we want to increase, it's only through the Word of God. Otherwise, what he's saying here is you will decrease. Even what you have will be taken. God gives us promises in his word. And I just want to bring out a few of these that go hand in hand with what I'm saying. Psalm chapter 1, the very first chapter, the very first scriptures, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord." Now, of course, it was written in the Old Covenant, so King David wrote this psalm. So back then, there was the New Covenant was only in the future. So what they had was the law. Blessed is the man. So we could say, blessed is the man who delights in the gospel or in the word of God concerning Christ. And in it, he meditates both day and night. I'd say that's paying attention to it. This is what he will be like. He will be like a tree, because remember in the Bible, we many times are referred to as trees. Jesus was the tree of life, and we also are trees of righteousness, referred to in the Bible as trees. So he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Have you ever seen a tree planted beside a river? That tree is big, beautiful. Why? Because it's drawing the water continually. Never has any drought. You will be like a tree planted like by the rivers of water. So this is a picture of the one who is planted in God's word. Rivers of water are a reference to the word of God in the scripture. Water. Out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of water. What's coming out of your mouth when you pray in the spirit is the word of God. He shall bring forth his fruit in season, his leaf also will not wither. What does that mean? Well, if you do a stare, like I say, scripture has to interpret scripture, okay? The leaf, the green leaf, is in a definite and direct reference to health. If you see, I mean, how many times in the spring you go out and you check the leaves on the trees for holes and some of the other worms are eating, you know that if the leaves are damaged, the tree's not healthy. But when you see brilliant, green, shiny, big leaves, that tree is healthy. So the leaves of the tree always refer, because it's its clothing. Your clothing is your body. And it says this tree that's planted by the rivers of life, who is drawing life from God's word, will be healthy. Okay? Will remain in health. And it also says, and whatsoever he doeth will prosper. You want to prosper in everything you do? Be planted by the rivers of living water, which is the word. Then in Psalm 92, it says, once again, which is the same reference, it is referenced in verse 12 of Psalm 92. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Do you know how old palm trees live? Like crazy, crazy long lives. It says he will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. How many of us know anything about wood? Daniel probably does. Cedar wood is supposedly one of the best woods out there. We have cedar in our bathroom and in our sauna. That's why they put cedar in a sauna. It can withstand temperatures, high temperatures. It can withstand moisture. It can withstand. It's amazing wood. My ceiling, we ripped out the cedar in our bathroom, but we kept it on the ceiling, and there isn't a mark on it. Like, it looks like it was put in yesterday. And so when the Bible makes reference to us as different kinds of trees, we can find out a lot more about what it's saying about us and bodily in our physical bodies. You know, we will be like, we will grow, and they get to be huge. They live long, like a cedar in Lebanon. In other words, they live the longest. They are the strongest of wood, most resilient. And they, it says, will still bring forth fruit when in old age. Most people are not bringing forth fruit in old age. They are decreasing. And because it's a natural progression, we see it as being normal. And it is for the world. But for the Christian, God is shaking his head. You know, even in the old covenant, under the old law, Moses, when he died, his eyes were not dim. He was 127 years old. And he still had 20/20 vision. And it says, nor has his force abated. That was Abraham. What does that mean? That means his strength was still the same. He didn't get weak. You know? And yet we, because we live in the world, we it's so hard for us to change that attitude. Because that's just the way we were raised to believe. That's the way we're told to believe. And if you come against that in any way, you're looked at like, you really have lost your mind. But this, I'm reading the word. This isn't my words. These aren't my ideas. This is what God's word says about you. And a lot of people then, they spiritualize it. Oh, that's just spiritual. No, when you get born again, when you're 20, 15, you become born of the Spirit. Yes, you're perfected, you're strong, you're everything on the inside. You don't get more perfected. Okay? You don't get more increased on the inside. You become who you are in the inside. Now, it's the inside has to change the outside to line up with it. And that's where the problem is. You already are all the things you need to be on the inside of you. How do I get that out so I can experience on the outside? You know, like increase and health and you know, prosperity, whatever it may be. Boldness. We need boldness so much in the Lord. We're all so timid. You know, we back down, we never say anything because we don't want to be a spectacle. You know, but we're the ones that are hurting for it at the end of the day. They go on their way. They don't care. They live their lives. I live mine. So you will still be bringing forth fruit in your old age. They will be fat and flourishing. Those who are planted, it says at the beginning of that psalm, in the courts of their God. Now, when they refer to being planted in the courts, it means being planted in the Word of God. Now, that might mean when you come to church, you hear the Word, you know, in a place where the Word is being ministered to you. That could be your car, plug a CD in, it could be your home, you know, listening on your whatever, your phone, you know, plug in to the Word of God. Plug in. That's when you will be fat and flourishing, even in your old age. Because I know now, you know, dealing with my mom, you know, she's getting older, and you go into these homes and you see these old people, and it's so sad. And you wonder, what were they like when they were young? How strong were they? How, you know, like, and it's sad. And you can imagine how you, because the years go by very, very quickly. And before you know it, you're there and you think, oh my goodness. Like, it's such a sad loss. It's like all of that is gone, you know, and your heart just, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. If you learn about God's word, if you take a hold of it when you're young, teach it to your children, so that it becomes common to them. You know, it's up to you, because the world sure as heck isn't going to teach them that. You need to set them down and continually talk to them about the Word of God and what its promise to them is. So that they, because children's minds are being formed at a very young age. And if you allow the world to form it into its ideology, it's very difficult to change that, as we know. Because ours were formed, and now we're having to go back and reform it through the Word of God. So take that opportunity with your kids. It was cute because a couple of weeks ago I had Tori's kids staying overnight, and I was tucking them in, and of course, you know, Grandma, that's the time I have their, it's more about getting their full attention. And of course, they don't want to go to sleep. So the longer I sit and talk, the more they like it. So it's question after question. And it was so cute because Charlie said to me, Grandma, he said, you know, I used to think, he sounds like such an old man already, old philosopher, Charlie. I used to think that when I was little, I used to think, he said, as if he's really big now, that's what I meant to say, that you just, when you're born, and then you just die, and that's it. You just live and you die. And I said, yeah. He says, but now I know, he said, we live forever. And I thought that was so precious. Now I know we live forever. He didn't know that, you know. And so, you know, it's amazing how you're speaking to your children and you think they're not picking anything up. You think they're not gleaning anything, but they are. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, they're picking up things that are so important. And so never back off of that. When they're young, take that advantage. Speak with them. I remember sitting with my kids sometimes for an hour if I felt led by the Spirit to do so, because I had their full, undivided attention. Like I said, because they didn't really want to go to sleep. And so if Mom's willing to sit here and talk with me, I'll listen. But it inspires questions. It inspires curiosity, you know. And I know the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom to share it in a way where they can really pick it up and understand it, you know. But never stop that. Look for every opportunity to sit them down and speak to them about Jesus. Don't push them off. You know, when you see that opportunity, the Holy Spirit will nudge you and say, here's your time. Go talk to them about this or about that. And it might be in the middle of a problem they're having or a traumatic thing they're going through. That's your time. Sit them down, explain, reassure them, give them a little tiny scripture that they can hang on to. That is so important in raising children. It really is. Because you are forming and developing their little minds. And when they get bigger, like it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will never depart from that. And that's our jobs as parents, anyways, and as grandparents. So, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. He will bring forth fruit in his old age, and we shall be fat and flourishing. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, and let's pick it up and finish reading it again. 20 to 24. My son, pay attention to my words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, don't forget them. James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25 says, if any man be a hearer of the word, in other words, you go to the word every day, you read it, but you're not a doer. He is like a man beholding himself. You look at yourself in the mirror. Oh, the Bible says I'm healed. Oh, the Bible says I'm born of the Spirit. The Bible says I'm a child of God. I am blessed. I'm highly favored in the beloved. You see all of this. He reads it. Then he beholds himself in the mirror. He sees who he is in Christ. Then he goes his way, and immediately he forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible, the Word of God, the Gospel is called the perfect law of liberty, of freedom. Whoever looks in the perfect law of liberty, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man will be blessed in his deed. So how do we do the work of God, or the Word of God? The work and word are the same. Well, it's easy. We just believe it and we receive it. We remind ourselves, we continually remind ourselves who we are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am healed by his stripes. Don't forget. Take a hold of that truth and say, yes, thank you, that's mine. Proverbs chapter 4, 22. For these words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. How much of their flesh? All. Nothing left out. That means I don't care if it's a bunion on your toe. I don't care if it's, I don't know, we get all kinds of things going on as we age, you know. Every, you know, little things start showing up. And it might not be life-threatening or anything, but they're just part of aging. No. These words are health to all of your flesh. Now, notice. Notice what it says. You got to read the word and really read what it says. It says, for these words, the word of the Lord, are life unto those that what? Read them. Unto those that hear them. No. Unto those that find them. What does that word find mean? You know, because so many people think, well, I know the Word of God. I've read it. I hear it. I listen to it. But are you, did you find it? The word find, I looked it up. It's a Hebrew word. And it actually means to lay hold of it. Like there's more to it than just hearing it. It's to lay hold. Like remember in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, I believe it says, lay hold of eternal life. That there's more to it. It's like, no, thank you, that's mine. That is going to be mine. And because you took it that day, now it's yours. Now you've got to continually, you've got to renew your mind. You've got to, because it's in your heart already, but it's got to get into your mind, and then it goes into the body and it becomes your reality. Don't give up on it, because it has the power to change you. And too often we do walk away and say, ah, that's way too far away for me to take hold of that. But this word is life and health to all of our flesh, to those who lay hold on them. That's all part of faith. Make it your own. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues, the outgoings of your life. That's why I said what is going in your heart today is going to be your tomorrow. It's going to guard, it's going to flow out. And somewhere along the line, you're going to see things and you're going to think, oh. It's always, I mean, preventative is always better, right? Like, get yourself filled up with the Word. Guard your heart against all the negative things of the world. When you hear negativity, stuff that doesn't line up with what you believe about yourself, turn it off. Ignore it. Don't give it another thought. You know, and I mean, of course, because we're bombarded continually with TV or our phones, whatever's on your phone, there's a lot of worldly well, it's all worldly negativity. You know, I mean, it's just continual. This new age of knowledge and information is actually not good for us. Because then, you know, you hear about diseases that you've never even heard of, and you think, oh, gee. And then you hear about who the people are that are more susceptible to it, and you go, oh. Now you're starting to get even more freaked out. That is ridiculous. Turn it off. It's doing nothing for you. It's not helping you in your faith. Because even though there is some truth, but you have to understand, the world operates by the spirit of fear. And it wants you to be afraid. Why? Because then you become its customer. You become its slave. Don't forget, at the end of the day, they're trying to sell you some drugs. But you need to close all that off. When you do hear something that causes you to be alarmed, you need to remind yourself, no, that's not me. That's not for me. By his stripe, I am healed. Not, you know, it has nothing to do with me. It was what he did for me. Or no, if the enemy comes along and says this or that, when you're confessing your words, well, devil, it doesn't really matter, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and you know it. And I have the authority to call and to take what I want from God's word. You see, you got to be strong. You got to fight that game. Guard your heart against all the negative thoughts and all the negative stuff that this world, and today it's worse than ever, wants to pour into your heart. You're not of this world, the Bible says, even as Jesus is not of this world. Do you think all of that negativity is going to change what Jesus is or who he, you know what I'm saying? He's not getting alarmed. He's won the victory over it all. If God is before you, who can be against you? We need to, more than ever, I believe today, to lay hold on the word of the Lord for ourselves and our children. It is truth. And God and his word are one. And if you and I continue in it, you will see the harvest. You will be fruitful. It's like that heart. What is the good heart out of those four soils? The one who received it, took the word, and never gave up on it. He knew. It, I mean, this, you got to remember, God's word is a seed. And just like any seed, when you plant it, it takes time. You got to keep watering it. How do you water it? With the word. The water is the word. The seed is the word. The water is the word. And the harvest is the word. I want to see harvest in my life, and more so in yours. I want to know that the word is working in your life too. Because it's not just for me and mine. It's for all. So we need to lay hold on this word today. Don't push it off till tomorrow. Because so many times we have good intentions and say, yeah, I need to make more time. I need to, you know, and we never do it. Or if we do, it's like a New Year's resolution. We do it for a couple of weeks or even, I mean, if you can go that long, you're really doing well. And then it's like, bah, throw the towel in. This is too hard. No, I believe once we take that time, after a while, it's like anything. It's like trying to drink more water. I do believe the more water you drink, the more water your body wants. And I believe it's like that with the Word. The more you're in the Word, the more you desire to have the Word. It's like your that desire, because this Word is alive, and you know it inside. It gives you a sense of being, having life, more life. And so let's begin that. Psalm 103, and I believe we ought to call this out, and I said it 2 weeks ago, every day, because we are the righteousness of God in Christ, because these are already ours. Five things are listed here. Five is the number of grace, and I believe these are the five things God has graced every believer with. Even at the moment you receive Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless him and forget not. How many times do we ponder what God has done for us? Forget not all of his benefits. In other words, not even one. Do not forget all of his benefits. What are they? Verse 3, who has forgiven all our sins and healed all our diseases. He has delivered our lives from destruction. In other words, no evil can befall me or any plague come nigh my dwelling place. He has crowned you with favor. We are highly favored in the Beloved. Loving kindness, which is actually the word in the Old Testament, they use the word loving kindness, but it's actually the word grace. He has crowned you with undeserved favor and blessings and tender mercies. And he satisfies your mouth with the good, or the good things that Bible says, but actually the word or the true scripture says he satisfies your mouth with the good, so that your youth is renewed as the eagle. Now, you know that your words control everything. What is coming out, and Jesus even said, out of the abundance of your heart, you're speaking. So your words is what's controlling your life. So out of your heart, whatever, if you're not guarding your heart with all diligence, then you're speaking things that are actually hurting you and not taking your life in the right direction. And so fill your mouth with God's word and your youth will begin to be renewed. That's a promise. These are promises from God's word. God doesn't lie. If we just take it seriously. So the Bible, I'm going to close on this. The Bible refers to this life, the life you're living right now, the life I'm living right now. It's referred to in the scriptures by the Apostle Paul in many places as a race. Okay? Now, I was thinking about that. And a race, and he said, you're in a race, and you're pushing towards the prize. There's a prize. Okay? God has given us perfection in every way through Christ. Okay, he's given us health in every way. He's given us all things that he has. We can't even cram into this little brain of ours how much Jesus has given us in our inheritance. Okay, but this life is God is setting us up. He's given us all the tools we need, the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God. But you also have to remember, the enemy goes about seeking someone he may devour. No matter where you are in this world, he's trying to devour you. Okay? We're in this race, so we're racing to receive all of the, you know, to win the prize. Whatever that is for you of life, the prize of life. And I think that as I was pondering this, it was like I all of a sudden saw a team, a small team of hockey players. And I mean, bless God, they want to win. I mean, it's all about the win. And they want the best equipment. They want the best sticks. They do not, like, everything is about winning. And I love it, and I think God loves it. What does that show? That shows heart. They've got it in their hearts. And even as a coach, There's nothing more fun than coaching a group of kids that has heart. But if you get the kids that are out there and like, they could care less whether they win or they just don't care. It's tough. Is it not? And Jesus feels the same way. I've set you in a race. I've given you all the equipment you could ever possibly need. Now go to it and run your race. Win the prize. In other words, these kids do not even entertain losing. They're praying about it. They're putting scriptures on their hockey bags. They're doing whatever it takes. You know, because in the natural, a lot of times these kids are not, you know, you look at your kid and they just like, we're going to win. And you look at them, you go, right? You know, God doesn't do that. God doesn't look at us and his kids and we say, oh, I'm going to win this battle against this cancer that the doctor told me I have 4 weeks to live. Most times we just give up. It's too big. It's like it is what it is. I'll get my affairs in order. No. God wants you to stand up and say, no, I'm going to win this race. He loves it. He loves to see you fight. Because he knows if you're weary, do not weary in the things of God. You will reap. You will reap. But it's like anything else. It's, you know, you see kids when they're going through the playoffs and they're getting, sometimes they're crying, you know, they might lose one game or whatever. But you know what? It's not over. You might win or you might lose a few battles along the way. But you get back up, you dust yourself off and say, no, this fight ain't over. I'm going to win this race. And you just keep on going. And that's heart. And when you continually put the word of God in, that's what begins to develop on the inside of you, a strength that you didn't even know you had, and a boldness. It's like, no, out of my way, I'm winning this race. No devil is going to hold me back or stop me. And he'll try. He's seeking for someone he may devour. But those who resist him, those who are steadfast in the faith, he can't touch them. You just blow right by them. So we're in the race of life. That's what I like to call it. And that's what the Bible calls it. You're in a race of life. Life, not death. Don't try to get to the finish line first in the race of death. And it's by faith. It's by faith that we will win. And you got to remember, so many people say, and it's even scriptural, you know, I need more faith. No, you don't. That's like saying your kid is playing hockey and he's tiring out before the end of the period or whatever, and you know, because of that it's affecting his game. Okay, he's wearing out. And he comes to you and he says, Mom, make a doctor appointment for me. I need more muscles. What would you say to him? No, you don't need more muscles. Everybody has the same amount of muscles. It's what you do with your muscles that will determine your strengths. You need to work your muscles. If you know you're weak in your wrists, well, then you do something to strengthen your wrists. If you're weak in your upper legs, upper thighs, well, let's do something to strengthen the muscle. Faith is the same. The Bible tells us we've all been given the measure. You have as much faith as I do. I have as much as you do. It's what you do with it. So you have to exercise faith in order for your faith to become strong. You don't need more faith. You have as much as you're ever going to get. And so use your faith muscle. Faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. And then when little things that you had a hard time lifting before, you know, once those muscles are strengthened, you just pick it up and toss it. And that's how faith begins to work. Things in your life that used to be traumatic and you think, oh no, a flu again. Yeah, I'm going to pray. I'll anoint with oil. I'll do this. I'll do that. But you don't have a high expectation. But I'll tell you what, once you start exercising that muscle, every time you're faced with confronted to pick that thing up again, it becomes stronger and stronger. And finally, it won't come anymore. Why? Because he knows it doesn't pay to go to that house. She's so strong in that area that it'll just We won't have a chance. Do you understand? And that's how we are to be living, and especially in this day and age, because there's so much out there. And I'm not just thinking about me or even you, but our children need to know how to be strong, need to know how to walk by faith and never give in. You know, take that, train those little hearts up to be strong in faith. And, you know, strong, especially in the areas where we always seem to be so weak. Nothing gives me greater pleasure than seeing little children who have great faith, you know. And I'm sure the Lord is the same, you know. And so for the end of this year, ponder these words. And as we go into the new year, you know what, it's not about more doing more, because God knows we can't do more. It's just pay more attention. Try to spend more time in the Word of God and hear the Word, because it's only by the Word that it transforms you. It transforms the way you think, and it begins to affect you physically in every area of your life. I know that. But it first affects your mind. It brings peace. And my goodness, we need peace in our mind. You know, so often we're, you know, our minds are alarmed so often and so caught up in the negative. And so let's change that. Only you can. We can't change the world. We can only affect ourselves. And so the Word of God is a good way. It's the only way to bring peace and tranquility into our lives and still remain busy, but not be stressed. You know, you can be busy, but always take time to enjoy the moment. You know, don't be always focused on your next task. Enjoy what you're doing now. Always be available, I guess is what I'm saying. Because so many times the Holy Spirit is wanting you to say something, either to a friend or to a child, but you're too much in a hurry to pay any attention to it. I haven't got time for this. I got to get going. I got to be here. I got to be there. And that's not the way. Where's the fruit at the end of the day? You were on time. Big deal. Whoopee. You didn't affect anything or anybody. And God wants you to be effective on the earth. There are many people all around us. Put that as your top priority. People need to hear about Jesus. But we got no time to share Jesus. We're too busy running to the next thing on our schedule. Or even if we do have time, because we haven't done it, we feel so awkward and we feel so, how do I do this? But I do believe that if you have the heart for it, the Holy Spirit will help you. You know, many times I pray, set up times and places, opportunities with those that you want me to speak to, you know, and pray about it. The Lord will, I mean, He'll use you. He'll use you, because that's so very important. Especially in this day, because we know the Lord is going to return soon. And you know what? Unless they're born of the Spirit, they are going to be left. There is no, God's word is not gray. It's black and it's white. If you're born of the Spirit, you're a child of God. If you are not, you are not a child of God. And that sometimes is hard for us to accept. And we don't want to see anybody lost. And so it's a time to get, for the new year, I believe it's going to be a time for us to be more in the Word, more. And the more you're in the Word, the more you're going to hear the voice of the Spirit. You're going to be at the right place at the right time. You're going to have the right words to say. Things will just start to flow more easily in your life. But it all begins with us. I determined I'm going to make some changes. Amen. Amen. Let's have communion.